Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, you never know, you know, if you're going to have this opportunity to play in an All-Star game again. And, you know, I just, you know, really want to thank the fans for, you know, their support and all year and their votes and everything to, you know, get me to this point. So I'm really excited to get out there and, you know, play in the All-Star
game. How about sharing the honor with one of your teammates?
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. I mean, obviously I played alongside him all year and, you know how good of a player he is. And, you know, I think a lot of fans around the world and are really getting to see that. And, you know, he'll put it on full display there. And it's really cool to, you know, go there, first of all, and also go with, you know, another teammate that's, you know, his first time there. So, you know, it'll be a fun experience with him.
That was Kyle Tucker talking about being an All-Star alongside Pecro Armstrong. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody in for Marshall. And we go to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. That is where we find our friend, the Cubs beat reporter for the Chicago Tribune, Megan Montemurro. Hi, Megan. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We simply wanted to talk a lot of Cubs with you, and I want to tell you about something Mark Grody did, because it's funny.
What?
Okay, so Grody, a couple of series ago, was like, oh, the Cubs beat the Cardinals, I don't take them seriously, and then the Seattle series happened, and the Cardinals series happened, and now, you know, it's a pretty tight race in the Central. I think he's getting the chance to redeem himself this weekend. So all of that said, do you credit Mark Grody with somewhat of the Cubs 500 finish in June and the slide they've been on, relatively speaking?
I mean, I probably would give the edge more to the players on the field, but I do think, you know, there is something to be said for, you know, the Cubs clearly are aware of, you know, the general narrative that happens when a team goes into, you know, a little bit of a slump. I mean, they had that stretch there where, you know, they had lost 5 and 6 games. You know, they were down 2-0 in the 4-game series to St. Louis. And so, you know, inherently they're getting questions more about the stretch that they're in. And I remember asking in St. Louis Nico about it, and, you know, put it in the context of, you know, it's kind of amazing that it's at the end of June and this is really the first time all season we're being asked about, you know, kind of going through some adversity, which, you know, I thought was an interesting way to look at it. And so, yeah, it's been interesting to see how they've been able to respond after those first two games in St. Louis. And they have a great opportunity tonight to sweep Cleveland ahead of another big series against St. Louis this weekend.
Yeah. Yep. Sounds like it's Grody's fault to me, too, Megan.
You're very nice, Megan. You're very nice.
How dare you bring in facts to this conversation?
My bad.
How dare you? No, but I think there is a reason, though, to anticipate what we're going to see over the weekend. Yes, there you have a game 3 tonight that's important. Cade Horton is on the mound. That's a big deal. But looking forward to that series over the weekend, especially it being here, yeah, what do you anticipate it being different about it compared to what happened in St. Louis?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is going to be, obviously, for the Cubs, the crowd. I mean, obviously, there were definitely some Cubs fans at the games in St. Louis. But outside of, I think, one of those 4 games, I mean, it wasn't necessarily a packed house in St. Louis. So I think just the energy level from the ballpark is going to be obviously amplified. And it's been a while since both teams are playing meaningful games against each other. And so I think that's just going to heighten things. Obviously, you have what happened with Wilson Contreras at the end of that game in St. Louis. So who knows what kind of dynamic that brings on the field for the 3 games over the weekend. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a really compelling series, and it'll be interesting to see how the Cubs rise to the challenge.
And the Cardinals are, as we speak right now, and I know we are a day away from the start of the series, the Cardinals are 5 games back in the division, so maybe this is the weekend that the Cubs put the Cardinals away. We shall see. Megan, as for last night's game, it was, as Layla and I were discussing earlier, it was like a maximum effort game where everybody just had to just kind of play through it, play through some pains last night. Shota playing through it after the early 3-0 deficit. Ryan Presley, he eventually has two men on. He had to fight his way out of it. Daniel Palencia at the end of the game, fighting his way through it. It really feels like we're in a position right now where Craig Counsell has found his guys and he's allowing his guys in the bullpen to play through it. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think just in general, like, you know, for as well as the bullpen in particular has pitched, like, it's not always going to be a clean inning as easy as the group has kind of collectively made it look over the last 2 months in particular. And, you know, it's something that Craig talked about, you know, in St. Louis, where, you know, Palencia got into the situation in the ninth with two on and nobody out and got out of it by striking out the next three guys. And he talked about it in Houston with Cade Horton experiencing a tough outing against a tough lineup, a tough crowd. Like, these are the moments that provide experience and prepare guys for October baseball. And, like, that's what the Cubs are playing for. It's not a, like, oh, gee, if we keep playing well, maybe we get that opportunity. Like, no, like, their goal coming into the season is make the postseason, make a run in the postseason. And so, you know, they have a lot of guys on the team that don't have a ton of October experience. And so, you know, they need these guys to learn how to handle those moments where the situation in the game is not going perfect. And how do they respond to that? And obviously a guy like Ryan Presley has a lot of experience. He's won a World Series. He's been to the playoffs a ton in Houston. And so I think any of those kind of moments are the build for what you hope the payoff comes in October.
This is Megan Montemuro, the Cubs beat writer for the Chicago Tribune. She joins us on The Score. And Megan, I also want to ask you a little bit more about that in particular. You know, we were trying to figure out when the Craig Counsell effect would fully take place. I feel like you're seeing that this season, not just in the selection of who's in the pen, for example, but how he's managing. Mark and I talked earlier in the show about maybe there's not a circle of trust when it comes to the bullpen. It's more like, this is your responsibility. I'm going to need you to figure this out. And that's how they're building roles here. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see that. And I think, too, it's, you know, there have been times where guys have been given opportunities and they've taken advantage of them. I mean, I think obviously Daniel Palencia is the most obvious example of that. You know, when Porter Hodge went on the IL last month, he might, going into the season, I don't know if anyone would have envisioned in June that he would have been closing for the Cubs, given, you know, how he had pitched the previous 2 years. But it's giving guys opportunities for bigger roles or responsibility based on their performance and what they've shown and the flexibility and willing to do that. Now, I know, you know, maybe some Cubs fans might disagree with that, because I know, having seen it on social media, that there are a lot that aren't happy that Michael Busch isn't getting more at-bats against lefties. And, you know, I understand that, or, you know, where Dansby's hitting in the lineup. But I think what Craig brings is he has a really, I think, solid understanding of his players' strengths, and more often than not is putting them in the position to succeed. Now, obviously not every move is always going to work out. That's not how things go in baseball or in sports, but I think, you know, he trusts his guys, you know, in the position that they're put in to come through more often than not. And that's a big reason, you know, why they're where they're at. And on top of that, obviously you have to have some breakout performances like they've gotten from Palencia, from that bullpen group of, you know, Chris Flexen, Brad Keller, Drew Pomeranz, and then obviously Pete Crew Armstrong, what he's been doing. And so I think it's a multitude of things, but certainly I think the level of trust and understanding of his player strengths plays a big role in that.
And yet another game last night, Megan, where PCA's paws were all over the game for any number of reasons. And one of them was the RBI double that he tried to stretch into a triple. And there's a little bit of a miscommunication with the third base coach, Quentin Berry, on not telling him to get down and slide in enough, which led him to his momentum to pull him off the bag and get tagged out and end the inning. And then we remember, too, that there was another miscommunication between Quentin Berry and PCA in Detroit. Is this just coincidental stuff, or is there like a communication issue going on between those two?
I don't think necessarily. I mean, last night, too, you know, Quentin is also directing.
Seiya.
Seiya. So like making sure he knows, making sure Seiya knows, you know, to go. And also too, like I think some of the base runner needing, like learning when to go into a slide, you know, how to, because from my vantage point on that play, it looks like Pete wasn't sure how he wanted to slide into the base, and so he ended up standing up. It looked like he was thinking about like sliding into the back of the base. So yeah, I mean, obviously those are things you do not want to transpire in October. And I think some of it's a combination of, yeah, like it's base runners getting used to Quinn Berry, you know, being their third base coach for the first time. Some of it is just, you know, Pete is still only 23 and he's still learning and growing into his skill set and understanding, you know, what he needs to do. So I think it's just a combination of things. And I think on the flip side, there's sometimes plays that don't go noticed that pan out. So I think over the course of the season, things generally balance out well. And Craig Council's philosophy is to be more aggressive on the bases. And so I think you're going to take more risk and there might be more outs. I know you're talking more about the mental errors, but I just think, you know, there are going to be times where fans might be wondering why did they do that? And they're generally, you know, erring towards the more aggressive side on decision-making.
And then Megan, I also know, you know, we talked about a little bit, Cade Horton taking the mound tonight for the Cubs. We've been keeping an eye on how many pitches he's throwing, how deep into games he's gone. Seems like 90 has been the biggest number that he hit, at least in the month of June. What do you anticipate as far as just how many innings maybe we see out of him or what the hook is going to be on him tonight?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't really delved into too many specifics of, you know, on an outing-by-outing basis. I mean, obviously some of it's going to depend on how hard is he working through the course of the game. Is he dealing with a lot of traffic on the bases? And so that always plays into it. And obviously as they continue to move through the summer, you have to keep in mind the big picture of, you know, his workload over the course of the season, especially, you know, if the expectation and obviously belief is that, you know, if you're going to be pitching in October and you think this guy's going to be helping you, then, you know, what does that look like compared to, you know, his limited workload last year? And for the Cubs, like, you know, they've said that, you know, there's not a hard innings limit. And a lot of that stems from just there's more data now to track on, you know, biomechanics. And so they can get readings on their pitchers of, like, how is their body recovering from outing to outing? And how might that be affecting their mechanics if they maybe are more fatigued from one outing to the next? And so there's a lot of different data they can use to gauge, you know, in the case of Cade Horton, you know, how he's progressing through the season. But I think, like, consistently you're wanting, if you're going to be keeping him in the rotation, you know, ideally it's 5-inning starts on average. It helps that you have some flexibility with a guy like Chris Flexen, who, you know, last time out he went multiple innings again. And so, you know, they have coverage if they need it. But you do want to kind of consistently see that 5-inning mark.
Megan Montemuro, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. We look forward to your work, as always, in the Chicago Tribune.
Thanks for having me on.